Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. He makes the same points here, that we are to awake, that the time is past, that we were once darkness, but now we're light. And in verse 11 he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Not to be involved in any way in these things, to know that they're wrong, to leave them alone, to stay away from them. And he goes on to say in verse 12, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. We as Christians should not only not do them, but we shouldn't even think about them. It shouldn't be in our hearts that it can come out, because those things are disgusting. Those things are abominable. And why do you think that all those abominations are on TV all the time? It doesn't matter what show you're watching. And I mean, I'm not even talking the TV channels. I'm talking even the other ones. There's always a homosexual pair, whether it's men or women. And there they are, and oftentimes they're the victim. Poor things, for whatever. All the things that people, all the sins that are becoming more and more common. How did that happen? Because people are seeing them. People are talking about them. People are becoming accustomed. And it's okay. And yet, what does the Spirit, Holy Spirit say? It's shameful even to speak of those things. And therefore, in the latter part of verse 12, it says, going back now to Romans chapter 13, verse 12, it says, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, get rid of them, and let us rather put on the armor of light. What is the armor of light? And I think here the reference is to the Word, the Word of God, that is that which guards us, that which is our shield against these things. This is the gospel that is indeed our Word. And so coming now to verse 13, and I want to camp here a little bit. In verse 13 it says, let us walk properly or decently. And the word that is used here is one that it can be translated, and indeed is translated, decently in some places, properly in others. And when we think about proper, you know, this is a word that's meaning has changed. I think of Mammy in Gone with the Wind, and Scarlett comes out in some dress that's a little bit, well, a little sexy, we might say. And what does she say? It just ain't proper. It's just not proper. Well, that's not what we're talking about. Although there is a point there. But it's what is right, what is decent. And this is in contrast to the things of the flesh. And notice Paul doesn't just say, don't do these evil things. He goes into detail here. And he talks about, and there's three different pairs. Not in revelry and drunkenness. Not in carnival. But in what is right. And when you think of revelry, that's a word that we don't use much. But if you've ever seen anything about Mardi Gras, if you've ever seen anything about carnival in the islands or in Brazil or anywhere else, that's what we're talking about, revelry. And the definition, I guess, if you would, is drinking parties that last long into the night. And the more they drink, the looser it gets. And as one brother said in St. Croix, this is just people having sex with their clothes on. That's the end of revelry. That's where it's leading. And that was, there was a reason that this was mentioned, is because it was something that was common. And Paul says, guided by the Holy Spirit, says no. And he then mentions drunkenness. Now we know what happens when people get drunk. And I remember at one particular occasion, a man who was doing some work for my aunt and uncle in their house. And Monday morning, he didn't show up. And so they called him, and Tuesday morning he was there, and he had his arm in a sling, and he had a cut across his face. And, well, what happened? Well, you know, I was at a bar, and we were drinking, and we got in a fight. That's what Paul's talking about. These things are wrong. These things are works of the flesh. These things need to be avoided. We as Christians need to leave them alone. But then he goes on to talk about sexual impurity and whatever your version said. Lewdness and lust. The idea of lewdness is sexual impurity. Whatever it is, in all of it, the ways that are included: homosexuality, fornication, pornography, all of that is involved in that. And again, these are things that people in the world are engaged in. These are things that Christians may have been engaged in before they were Christians. But Paul says we have to throw those away. We have to put those off. The idea of lust and its deed is immoral living. It's just living in a way that is not pleasing to God. And then he mentions strife and envy. And you know, the other two pairs we look at and we think, oh yeah, that's sin. But what does he say? Strife and envy. And if you've been in a church where there is strife, you know the damage it can do. And strife, someone has defined as seeking conflict. And you know people that are always needing to have drama in their life, always trying to stir something up. But there are other people that it's just when I want something that I'm not getting, I need control, and you fill in the blank. They're seeking conflict. And the Holy Spirit says, no, that is a work of the flesh. Envy as well, because oftentimes that's what's involved. And so we as Christians are to put all this away. But he doesn't leave us there, does he? And we're going to look in Galatians now, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 at verse 22, we're going to begin. And here's another list, a more extensive list of the works of the flesh. But we're going to pick up in verse 22 where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such," it says, "there is no law." The things that the works of the flesh are one thing. He says, but the fruit, and fruit is the idea of the Spirit is the source, the tree, and it grows in us. It's not something that happens overnight. You just don't immediately turn on love. And you think about your mate. Did you immediately see them and love them as you should? No, because that takes time. It over time. And joy, peace, patience, all of these characteristics are things that we should be working toward. Putting aside all the other, because that vacancy, that vacuum will not stand. If we put away, we have to fill up with something else. And that is our goal as Christians. And I want us to go back to Romans again. And now we're going to look at verse 14, where it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put those things off. Put on Jesus. And think about if you're out working and you're working in the dirt, you're sweaty, your clothes are dirty, you take them off. Do you just put more dirty clothes on? No. You put on something clean. And that's what he's saying. Put that off and put on Christ. And then he says, make no provision for the flesh. Don't put any little loopholes there. And we may remember in James 5 and in 1 Peter 5, we're told, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does it mean to resist? You put up a fight. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. You say, this is wrong? No. Because what happens if you just, well, okay, I see it. Okay, yeah, well, it's there. And the next thing you know, if you're tempted by that, you've fallen. But we have to know and make the stand. Resist the devil. Don't even give him an inch into your life. And certainly, part of that is we need to pray for help. God is the one that can help us to overcome. And I think most of us have been in situations at one time or another that we have tried to overcome, that we have tried to resist by ourselves. And it didn't work. Because the devil's far stronger than we are. And that's where God comes in. Because he is stronger than the devil. He can help us. But we have to ask. We have to pray. We have to acknowledge, God, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. And we're going to look at James now, chapter 5. As James is concluding his book, that's the point that he makes in verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, confess your trespasses to one another, not that the man can forgive you, but that God can forgive you. But the point is, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How much? How strong is prayer? Verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. God, what Elijah prayed for is that there be neither rain nor dew except at my word. And God listened. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. And when the time was right, after the contest on Mount Carmel, and the people, the end of it was, the people fell down on their faces and they said, Jehovah is God, Jehovah is God. Baal is not God, Jehovah is God. And after that is when it rained. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to remember. is the power of prayer. To pray for one another, to pray to God, for ourselves. We have that hope.